The Bernanke testimony heats up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Fed Chair Ben Bernanke is answering tough questions from a congressional oversight committee about Bank of America's acquisition of Merrill Lynch. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning.
First of all, remind us about the B of A Merrill deal.
Right. Well, this deal was struck that fateful weekend in September when Lehman Brothers collapsed and Bank of America agreed to buy Merrill Lynch. The question now is, how much pressure came from the government, from the Fed and the Treasury, to make that deal happen? Because after it was agreed to, a lot more losses on Merrill's books came to light. And as a result, taxpayers had to put up another $20 billion for a total of $45 billion for Bank of America.
And what have lawmakers been asking about today?
Well, I tell you this, Bill, I would not want to be sitting in the hot seat this morning because Ben Bernanke is being hammered from right and left. The Democrats are asking, why weren't more restrictions put on Bank of America's activities, including executive compensation, after all those taxpayer dollars were put at risk? The Republicans are reading emails they say prove that Bernanke directly or indirectly threatened to replace Bank of America's CEO Ken Lewis if he didn't go through with the Merrill deal. Here's Republican Dan Burton questioning Chairman Bernanke.
Is Mr. Lewis lying?
With respect to what, sir?
I said, is Mr. Lewis lying when he tells this committee that you put pressure on him along with Mr. Paulson?
All I know is that I never said that I would replace the board and management if he invoked the MAC.
In other words, if he tried to back out of the Merrill deal. Now, there are also questions, Bill, about whether the Fed tried to hide its actions from its sister regulatory agencies. And the hearing continues.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us live. Thank you.
Thank you.
Some economic numbers out this morning. New jobless claims rose unexpectedly last week, and the number of Americans continuing to claim benefits, that's up now to more than 6.7 million. On the positive side, the economy shrank slightly less in the first quarter than first estimated. And Wall Street's focusing on the positive. The S&P 500 up 1.5%. Same for the NASDAQ. Same for the Dow. The Dow is up 119 points at 8,419. European markets lost 2% today. Asian markets gained 2%. Bed Bath & Beyond reported relatively strong earnings today. And shares of home builders are up after Lennar reported an increase in new home sales and orders. However, Lennar also reported an even bigger loss last quarter than a year ago. Marketplace's senior business correspondent Bob Moon got to wondering, what could it be like to be a home builder these days?
I was reading yesterday about a backlog of more than 45,000 pending foreclosures that have stacked up in the Phoenix area when one of the comments posted below caught my eye. Tell me again, the reader wanted to know, why new home builders are still in business. Although scores of small builders have gone belly up, no major U.S. home builders have closed shop, so how are they getting by? Seems some were lucky enough to build up their cash reserves before the market tanked. Analyst Robert Stevenson at Fox Pit Kelton points out, in some cases, unloading their empty lots has been critical.
Simply because they're selling their land and converting that into cash. But the margins continue to be under a great deal of pressure given the operating environment.
Some have even been able to get by on hope, raising cash by selling bonds to investors on the promise of an eventual recovery. This all makes for a head-scratching assessment from Stevenson.
Most of these companies are still cash flow positive, but their earnings negative.
How long can the life support hold out? Just this week, the head of Pulte Homes said while his company's in strong shape, he sees more home builder bankruptcies on the horizon if things don't improve soon. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
This week, the Energy Department said it's lending billions of dollars to a few automakers to help them produce energy-efficient vehicles. One of them is Tesla Motors, a California company that makes all-electric cars. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is known for starting PayPal. He has a company building space launch vehicles. His new Tesla sedan is supposed to hit the streets in 2011. He's on the line with us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
If the government aims to help electric battery cars get widespread acceptance, Why back the Tesla sedan? It's pretty high performance. It's not cheap, $57,000. Not exactly mass market.
Well, when you have a new technology, it is simply naive to assume that any new technology can suddenly go mass market. So if one is going to set the requirement that a new technology be instantly mass market, you're actually saying there should be no new technology. So if you look at the trajectory that Tesla is taking, it is quite fast by almost any measure. Our first car is the Tesla Roadster, which is $100,000. Our second car, the Model S, is $50,000, and that's what we have a portion of the federal funding to assist with. Our third car, we aspire to do 100,000 to 200,000 units a year, and that is intended to be a $30,000 car. But that's going to be 4 or 5 years away. I think that's about as fast as it's humanly possible to go.
Well, because you're able, you seem able to see the future in interesting ways. I wonder, what is your vision of the future of highway travel?
I think it's going to look not that much different from what it looks right now, except that the cars will be electric. And there'll be some transition period where there's plug-in hybrids and electrics and gasoline cars, and then the gasoline cars will fade. And then, my approximate prediction is about 20 years from now, the majority of new cars manufactured will be electric. For the highways themselves, I think that there's an opportunity to double-decker a lot of the freeways where there's high congestion. It would really, I think, alleviate a lot of the soul-killing commute that people have in major cities.
Well, when you're finished with Tesla and space travel, will you double-deck our highways for us, too?
I would like to try give it a try. I think the issue will not be a technical issue. It will be more of a regulatory and political issue. But it's very doable. In simple terms, just basically creating prefabricated metal sections and then dropping them in place like a Lego set.
Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla Motors, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 127 points. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.